chapter 10 for our look at God's Word this morning. Someone has said the Bible is like a large field with diamonds sprinkled on top. And then when you dig deeper, you find emeralds. You keep digging, you find rubies, sapphires, jade. The Bible is a mine, and nobody has ever gone all the way down. This morning, we're going to gather some familiar thoughts from the surface and go deeper and maybe bring up some things that you've never seen in this very familiar passage. In Luke 10, at the very end, one of the stories about Mary and Martha, the two sisters. Follow with me as I begin in verse 38. Now it happened as they went that he entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister named Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me." Jesus answered and said to her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her." This is a little episode in the life of Jesus, only recorded in Luke. Other things about these two sisters are found elsewhere. And it doesn't even include a long sermon by Jesus. There are no miracles or such things like that. And yet, this is a wonderful personal story of how he interacted with these two sisters that believed in him. And here is the main lesson, brethren, we need to learn. We need to humbly sit at Jesus' feet and lovingly listen to him, even in the midst of busy times, such as what Martha was going through. Now, let's get the setting. So turn back just a couple of pages to Luke chapter 8, where we're introduced to them and other such followers of Jesus. Luke chapter 8, starting at verse 1. Now it came to pass afterward that he, Jesus, went through every city and village, preaching and bringing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God. And the 12 were with him. And certain women who had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom had come 7 demons, Joanna, the wife of Chuza, Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many others who provided for him from their substance. So it wasn't just the 12 apostles. There was this group of what some theologians have called the holy women that followed around, and they met the various needs of this traveling seminary, I guess you'd say, the ones that were learning from Jesus, and out of their substance, they met the needs. Well, Mary and Martha were two of them, and they show up occasionally in the gospel, such as at the cross. They were the last to leave, and they were first to come to the empty tomb. So among them were Mary and Martha. So now we're back in Luke chapter 10. Jesus traveling, and he comes to the little town of Bethany, not far from Jerusalem. And it was like he always found an open heart and an open home there with this family, the two sisters and their brother Lazarus. So they show up there, and they were expecting, well, maybe Jesus will share a message with us. But here's our first lesson. They open their home not only to Jesus, but to these 12 men. How would you ladies like to have 13 men show up and you have to feed them and house them? Well, that's what Mary and Martha faced. And of course, Martha goes to the kitchen, tries to round up food and everything. But the lesson is they were hospitable. The Bible gives a great value to hospitality. Let me quote a couple of verses. Romans 12 says, "Practice hospitality." 1 Peter 4 says, be hospitable to one another without complaining. Well, we'll see that Martha showed hospitality, but she was also complaining. What do we mean hospitality? Well, the best way to understand is take the letter U, standing for you, and put it into that. Practice hospitality. Open your house, and not just for food, but for fellowship and to meet a person's needs. And some people have that special gift. But Martha struggled with this. Look at the text here. It says, verse 40, she was distracted. Verse 41, she was worried and bothered. The problem was not with the work, but with her attitude. You see, a person that has learned the gift of hospitality, doesn't matter if it's 2, 20, or whatever, but Martha had this problem. It was her attitude, and it kept her from soaking up the great blessing that was literally inside her house, the Lord Jesus. So there she was in the kitchen fixing food, wondering, do I have enough food? Do I need to send to the next village and get some more? Oh, I need people to serve this. Who's going to clean up afterwards? And all the time she's missing the Lord Jesus Christ. It was her attitude, not the opportunity. Now, this strikes home to us. Sometimes we are caught up in what the Bible calls the cares of this life. In fact, that phrase is found 3 times in the New Testament, where a person gets distracted because they're so busy with work, family matters, soccer moms driving them back and forth, shopping, food, so many other things, and we feel like Martha. You get so caught up in that, and you ignore Jesus, who's right there. And you're not like Mary, who took advantage of the presence of Jesus. This also applies even to Christian activities. Martha was trying to serve Jesus. And you have been given a special gift as well to serve Jesus with. But have you learned this lesson? It is more important to spend time with Jesus than working for Jesus. Some people, like some in our church, very active in evangelism, open-air evangelism, and things like that. But learn the lesson with whatever gift God has given you, and you regularly do it, that's your ministry. But spend more precious time with Jesus listening than just simply for Jesus serving. Be more like Mary than like Martha. Well, Martha took out her frustrations on her little sister, Mary. Evidently, Martha was the older, Mary was the younger one. Neither one was married. They lived together. Here's a lesson. The more you become like Mary, you can expect to be the brunt of the frustration of someone that's more like Martha. They'll criticize you and even criticize you unto Jesus. So look at the text here. Martha now comes to Jesus and complains, do you not care? If you know your Bible, those are the same words that the apostles used in the fishing boat when it was about to be sunk. They came to Jesus, Lord, do you not care? Boy, there's a whole message right there. If you ever been in a difficult situation and you've prayed and you've prayed, maybe you've wept and you cry out, Lord, don't you care? Of course the Lord cares, but he may be putting you through a storm or a trying situation like Martha, where her patience was very shrinking and she was just about had it. You can almost see her in 2 minutes saying, I've had it. Feed yourselves, men. I'm out of here. She's at her wit's end. We get like that sometimes, don't we? And we want to take it out on someone. Man has a bad day at work. He comes home and he kicks the dog. Got nothing to do. Or he yells at the wife. Or the wife has had a rough day and she takes out on the husband. Don't. Here's Martha venting her frustrations at God. And there's another bad lesson. We can always learn from a bad example. Don't take your frustrations out on God. Bring them to God in the right attitude and don't complain and don't be like Mary. She was actually blaming Jesus. Don't you care? Why don't you stop her and say, Mary, get up and go and help your sister. So she had the wrong perspective, and this is what happens when we're not at the feet of Jesus. So she, you could say it's good that she went to Jesus, but she went in the wrong attitude. Here's another lesson. When we speak to Jesus, don't complain and don't blame him. Go to him humbly and say, Lord, I submit and I need your help. And that's what Martha should have done. So how does Jesus respond? He says, Martha, Martha. Okay, stop right there. Do a Google search in your mind. Can you think of other places in Scripture where someone used the name twice to speak to someone? You remember Abraham was about to offer up his son and a voice came and said, Abraham, Abraham. It's a tone of urgency. Then there was Moses comes to the burning bush trying to figure out what it was. And God says, Moses, Moses, or in Hebrew, Moshe, Moshe, stop. How about Simon Peter when he said, I will never deny you. Jesus simply said, Simon, Simon. How about when Absalom died and David wept for him? Absalom, Absalom, my son, my son. Or the Lord Jesus came into Jerusalem for the last time on a hill and overlooked the city. And with tears, he said, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. In other words, the repetition here comes from the heart of Jesus. And he says, Martha, Martha. But notice it's tender. He didn't blame her. He didn't call down firebolts on her. Martha, Martha, very tenderly. And there's a lesson. Sometimes we need to be very personal to people. He issues a very gentle rebuke. Now, you parents know there's sometimes you have to be very straightforward with your children. Sometimes you need to be very gentle and just say, Joey, Joey, I'm disappointed with you. Or Susie, Susie, why did you do that? Here's the good shepherd being very tender with a disobedient lamb, and he's protecting another one here. He didn't scold her, just gave her a gentle rebuke, and there's a lesson and an example for us. Now, her problem was that it was imbalanced. She wasn't doing something wrong by providing the food. It was that she was good in that area, but she could have been better being like her sister, Mary. We too get imbalanced in the Christian life. We need to set the balance of head and heart and hands and other such things. Look at verse 31. Jesus said, a simple meal would have been enough, but Mary wanted to put on everything. And, you know, as a preacher, when I travel and visit people, just like this last week, saw some people. Sometimes they want to put out a big banquet and the wife wants to cook some very special casserole. And I say, look, I didn't come for a big meal. Just a ham sandwich will do or a hamburger. I came to be with you, not the food. And so I tell them in advance, just a simple thing. That's all Jesus wanted, was just a simple meal. But she wanted to do something more elaborate. We need to set our priorities and have, for example, a simple lifetime in order to give more priority to the things that really matter. Mary saw that, but Martha didn't. Now, there's a popular misunderstanding about this. I remember I preached on this once, and a lady came up to me afterwards and says, well, some women are like Mary, some are like Martha, and we need both, and I guess I'm like Martha. And I thought, she's missed the whole point. Martha was good. Mary was better. You see the difference? By the way, there's some people that are not even as good as Martha. They don't even serve. They ignore Jesus. I hope nobody here is like that. But there are people that are very much like Martha, and God bless them. But how about a double blessing for being like Mary? That's the point of the story. She is the better example. So we should be like the one sister and not the other. By the way, there was a third member of the family, Lazarus. Now, don't settle for being like Martha. Some don't even come to that level. Strive to be like Mary. Now let's look at this Mary. There's at least five Marys mentioned in the New Testament. Of course, there is the mother of Jesus. There is Mary Magdalene and Mary of Bethany and several others. In Hebrew, her name was Miriam, one of the most common Jewish women names at that day. In fact, it's still very common today. The name of Moses' older sister, for example. She is one of my favorite people in the whole Bible. Her attitude, there's nothing bad ever said about her, but she was a woman after God's own heart. And you see it in a remarkable way when you look at each time she is mentioned in the Bible. For example, I have a very old book in my personal library called Undesigned Coincidences in Scripture. Now, it's undesigned by the authors, but it was designed by God. And sometimes there are designed coincidences. In scholarship, we call these repeated motifs, like water, Genesis 1, the water covered the earth. And then, you know, he leads me beside still waters. Jesus gives us the water of life. Other ones almost look undesigned because you don't think the author was really tying them in. But when we compare Scripture with Scripture, we say there's a lesson here. I once knew a preacher that was good at this. And on several occasions, he says, Kurt, have you ever seen this passage? Some obscure verse in Kings. And he brings me into another verse. He says, what do you learn when you tie them together? You know who that preacher was? Anybody remember Bob Jennings? Okay, he did that to me several times. I said, I'd never seen that. Let me show you something about these two sisters, and especially Mary. So turn with me. Keep a hand in Luke and turn over to John chapter 11. And when I quote these verses, you will see the so-called undesigned coincidence that God, in fact, designed to tell us something about Mary's secret. So look at John chapter 11. And of course, you know, Lazarus has died. Jesus shows up. Martha shows up. And she says, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. She's again kind of scolding him. And Jesus says those wonderful words, I am the resurrection and the life. Do you believe these things? She goes off and here comes Mary. Look at verse 32. Then when Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying to him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. She said the same words, but can you see the difference in the attitude? What's the difference? She was at the feet of Jesus. Luke 10, she was at the feet of Jesus. Undesigned coincidence? No, no. God is teaching us something. Be like Mary. You need to be at home at the feet of Jesus, just like Mary. Okay, turn to the next chapter, John chapter 12. 6 days later, it says that Lazarus had been raised from the dead, and there is Jesus. It says, Jesus came to Bethany where Lazarus, who had been dead, was, whom he had raised from the dead. And there they made him a supper, and Martha served, of course, but Lazarus was one of those who sat at the table with him. Then Mary took a pound of very costly oil of spikenard, anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the fragrance of the oil. Do you see the coincidence again? Whenever she's close to Jesus, she's immediately at his feet, either cleaning the feet or praying before him or listening to him. This is that special trait of Mary. Okay, we're not finished yet. Turn to Matthew chapter 28. You know, Jesus now has risen from the dead, and the first one to see him was Mary Magdalene, and then later Peter and John. And then he says, now I'll meet you in town. And so as the ladies are going to town, Jesus meets them there. Now look what it says here. Look at verse 9. As they went to tell the disciples, behold, Jesus came to them saying, rejoice. And this includes the women now, including Mary. So they came and held him by the feet and worshiped him. This may look like just a minor detail, but this is another one of those rubies underneath the surface. Four times we find Mary at the feet of Jesus, and she's a good example. Go back to Luke chapter 10. We need to be like Mary at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. That shows her humility. Now again, do a scan. What are the times in the Bible do you find people at someone else's feet? Well, let me just mention a few. Elisha studied at the feet of Elijah, and then the sons of the prophets at his feet. Luke 7, one of my favorite stories, a woman came and wept over the feet of Jesus. And then we're told the story about the man that had all those demons in him, and he was a wild man, couldn't be chained up. Jesus cast the demons out. And a little detail says, he was, fully clothed, sitting at the feet of Jesus. And a very important little detail. Oh, and there are other ones. A man named Jairus came to Jesus. My little daughter has died. And it says he came to the feet of Jesus. Another time, Jesus was sitting at a table eating, and Syrophoenician woman comes and bows down at his feet. John the Apostle bowed at his feet in Revelation 20, and there are many other ones. These are little details that should not be overlooked, brethren. These are examples for us. We need to fall at the feet of Jesus and listen and worship like Mary. That takes humility. So her attitude is much different than Martha's. Martha was so overworked, she was more in the flesh than in the spirit. What was the attitude of Mary? She had an open heart as well as open ears. She had humility. She was not complaining. She felt at home. She had affection for the Lord Jesus Christ. She was teachable. She was not speaking. She was simply listening. You know, the Bible says we should be slow to speak and swift to listen. Well, let me throw in a little extra that's not in my notes. You've heard it said God has given us two ears and one mouth. We should listen more than we should speak. We should be like Mary, who was listening. And sometimes we need to listen, as my dad used to say, with both ears. The ears of our head and the ears of our heart. As a pastor, there are times that I just simply need to listen to someone that's in need. Have you ever been in a situation where you just want to talk to someone and unload your heart and your tears, and that person can be ministering to you by just listening? Sometimes I'll phone up a elderly woman in our church that is very much afflicted, and I'll say, "How are you doing?" And I have to sit down because I know for the next half hour or more, she's going to tell me every ailment she has. And every now and then I just say, "I'm so sorry." But it's very important to listen, not just to their words, but to their heart. Like the ladies that followed and ministered to Jesus, they couldn't be apostles, but they could do what they could. There is a real ministry of listening. I heard of one woman that said, "You know, some people have the gift of teaching or preaching. I have the gift of listening." And she did. And then I heard of another woman that said, "You've heard of the laying on of hands? I have the gift of the laying on of ears." That can really minister to people. And I found that women are particularly good at this, listening to what's in the heart, listening between the lines. And as you listen, do you know this secret? Where you listen to that person's, and now you are the Lord's ears. The Lord, of course, hears, but when you hear that person's heart, it goes in your ear and in your heart, and you take it in an attitude of prayer up to the Lord as you are listening to that person. We need to learn how to listen with our ears and our heart. I think Mary did this. You see, Martha heard Jesus. Mary was listening to Jesus. And there's all the difference in the world. For example, when you come to church and you've heard the preacher preach and the words are not even going in one ear, out the other, you said, "I've heard all this before," but you're not listening. So often, the people that heard Jesus, they only heard and they didn't get any understanding. We need to cultivate spiritual hearing. That's another lesson from Mary here. Listen. Here's what Augustine said. Martha was absorbed in the matter of how to feed the Lord. Mary was absorbed in the matter of how to be fed by the Lord. We need to be fed by God before we can feed others. You could also say Mary, being the bossy older sister, was more like a worldly feminist than Mary, who's a golden example of what the Bible says, a woman that has a meek and quiet spirit, listening to Jesus. Someone else said this, if with meek and gentle Mary of Bethany, we take our seat at the feet of Jesus, we shall certainly learn and continue learning so long as we lovingly linger there. I like that. Lovingly linger at the feet of Jesus. Now, of course, Jesus is not here physically. How do we lovingly linger at his feet? Mary was listening. How does Jesus speak today? In his word. So, brethren, we need to set aside time and set aside everything else, the cares of this life, and lovingly linger and listen to Jesus in his word. Do you do that every day? When you first became a Christian, some older disciple probably first told you, you need to have a quiet time or a daily devotion. Have you got away from that? You're beginning to be more like Martha than like Mary. Now, look also, this is another one of those gems beneath the surface. Martha missed this great privilege. Jesus was in her very house right there, and she didn't take advantage of it. Mary did. So she comes and sits down at the very feet of Jesus, so close she could have touched him. In fact, we're told in these other places, she did touch him. Has that ever astounded you? You say, well, what's special about sitting at his feet? Close enough to touch, and she did touch him. Who was that? That was Jesus. That was God in the flesh. You say, so? Okay, let's back up. In the Old Testament, God said, build the tabernacle. In the middle of it, you got the Holy of Holies. And in the middle of that, you got the Ark of the Covenant. He says, now that stands for my holiness. Nobody but nobody ever touches it. You touch it, you die. It had to be carried on poles. One man dared to touch it, Uzzah, and he was killed on the spot. Here's Jesus, far greater than that Ark of the Covenant. This is God, holiness in the flesh. How could Mary dare to touch him? But she did. How come she wasn't struck dead? There's a great lesson in that, but it's comparable to, remember, Moses said, I want to see you, and God said, you can't see me. Nobody can see me and live, Moses. Here comes Jesus, and people did see him, and they didn't die. Why? Because Jesus, as it were, filtered out the wrath of God, and he took it at the cross so that when they saw with faith, they didn't die, they lived. Nobody can see God unfiltered and live. Nobody can see Jesus as he is and die. Now, it's the same thing with touching him. To touch the ark would have meant instant death. But if you touch Jesus, listen closely, if you touch Jesus with the hand of faith, you don't die. You live and get a blessing. Reach out and touch Jesus and listen like Mary did. What a great privilege. Think of what would you have done if you had been in the house there. I ask people sometimes, what would you do if Jesus walked into your house or into this service? What if Jesus walked through that door right now? And I said, look, that's him. What would you do? Some of you would probably say, you know, I've always wondered what Jesus looked like, or can I get his autograph? I don't know about you, if I said, that's Jesus, I'd run and push through the crowd as fast as I could, fall at his feet, and lovingly touch them. That's what Mary did. We should get as close to Jesus as we possibly can, so close we can reach out and touch him. We would love to have been there, but we can now by faith. He speaks to us in his word, and we should listen with both ears. Now, I hope you've learned the lesson of not just listening to the preacher, but listening to Jesus through that preacher. Because no preacher is perfect. But if he is preaching accurately from the Word of God, set aside his foibles. Maybe he has a bad accent. He butchers the English grammar. I'm talking about me now. My church knows that. Listen to Jesus speak through the voice of a man who is preaching the word to you. And don't get bored with it, even if you've heard it before and you say, I've heard all this before. A starving man will eat anything. Mary wanted to hear anything Jesus would say. And of course, we have many recordings of what he did say. But look at the text. He was already speaking to her, but we're not told what it was until Jesus now speaks to Mary. You ever wonder, what was Jesus saying to Mary? Did she dare ask a question? Did he have something just for Mary? When you feast upon God's word, there'll be things that apply to many other people, but there will always be something that is just for you on that day. So, brethren, keep reading and keep digging. And don't get distracted. It's easy to have your mind wander, kind of like Martha, thinking of other things. I hope your mind is not wandering right now. Jesus often said, if any man has ears to hear, let him hear. Listen. And don't miss being there. Martha missed the great privilege. He was right there and she wasn't really listening. What a great privilege, and she missed the blessing. Brethren, there are many blessings we miss. For example, when we're not in the house of God on the Lord's Day. Some people say, well, I was up late on Saturday night or I was working hard. You just might miss a special blessing on that Sunday. Bible uses a certain phrase, the day of visitation. You remember Jesus rebuked Jerusalem. He says, he kept thundering curses on. He says, because you missed the day of your visitation, as if to say, I'm God in the flesh and you didn't accept me. I visited you and you said no. This was a day of visitation for Martha and she was missing it. Jesus was trying to pull her into it. God has promised he will meet with us when we meet in the name of Jesus. He is here now. Of course, not physically, but spiritually, just as much as the man or the woman sitting right next to you. He is here. He has promised that. Two or three are gathered in my name. There I am. But sometimes, oh, this is choice, he visits his people in a special way. And when it's in a big way, we call that revival. But have you ever been in such a meeting where you say, boy, I really sense this, the presence of Jesus right here? It might be just a small prayer meeting, or it might be a large conference. And the Lord now condescends to bless his people in a special way. And you know, it's kind of like those words that one of the apostles said after Jesus rose from the they saw Jesus, and it says, none of them dare ask, who are you? Because they all knew it. Sometimes the presence of Jesus is right there, and you don't even have to say, is this what they say, the special presence of Jesus is? No, you just know it by spiritual intuition. But what if you're not there? You've missed that special blessing. Many years ago, in fact, it was when I lived in Dallas, led a little home Bible study every Saturday night. And I haven't shared this with many people. It was a special time. We had just begun the study, and it was as if Jesus walked in. And we didn't even have to say, do you feel something strange? We all knew he was visiting us in a very special way. And we studied, and it's like we almost heard his voice. And we were in tears. Maybe you've experienced what I call one of those holy moments. May the Lord give you holy, unexpected moments. Well, one of the sisters was not there that Saturday. She was, I don't know where she was. Well, I talked to her a few days later, and she said, well, how'd the Bible study go? And I said, you don't know what you missed. Well, what happened? I said, it was as if Jesus was right there and our hearts were warmed and tears. And she said, oh, and I missed it. Oh, and I said, you should have been there. Always be in the Lord's house with the Lord's people on the Lord's day. He's always here. But there may be special times of visitation. and don't miss it. In fact, you might even be there like Martha was there and miss it. So make sure your heart is tuned just right as he moves amongst the candlesticks. Mary learned this. Martha hadn't quite learned it yet. Martha heard with her ears, but Mary listened with her heart. Let me quote one of the great Puritans, Thomas Manton. He said, Martha was careful to entertain Christ in her house, but Mary was careful to entertain him in her heart. And so should we. It's not just a matter of what we know up here or what we do with our hands. Brethren, the most important thing is our heart, says in the book of Proverbs, my son, give me your heart. That's what he wants from us the most. And that's what Mary was given to Jesus as she was listening to Jesus in her heart as if she was saying, I give you my heart, O Lord. John Calvin's lifetime motto, maybe you've seen a picture of his coat of arms. It was a picture of a hand with a heart in it. And in Latin it said, I'll give you the English, it says, my heart, O Lord, I give you promptly and sincerely. This is what Mary was doing. She was listening and saying, Lord, I give you my heart. And that's what we should do as well. She was listening to everything Jesus said, what he said, how he said it. Listen to that. Sometimes the person's intonation or the voice or the gestures, Mary was right there looking at every gesture, listening to the intonation, the words probably pondering, what does he mean by that? Why did he say that? That sounds like something else in the Bible. That's how we are to listen when we read the Bible. Lord, why did you use this word instead of that one? This sounds like something else you said in the scriptures. Be very attentive. Listen to what Job said like that. He says, I have treasured the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. This is another undesigned coincidence. Food, Luke 10. Martha was interested in the food. Mary wanted the food of God's word more than simply food. If you have been in a situation like that, and we find examples in scripture, you're so caught up with the Lord, you're not even hungry anymore. You're hungering for spiritual food. That's what Mary was hungering for, and she was getting her heart filled with this. So she felt at home at the feet of Jesus. Verse 42, Jesus said, Mary chose the right portion. Now notice that. This is not a wasted word. That was a deliberate act of her will. When Jesus showed up, Martha deliberately chose to go to the kitchen and do all the work. Mary deliberately chose the best portion. And it wasn't in the kitchen, it was in the sitting room, and she chose it. We need to deliberately, in our heart and mind, choose the best blessing. And Jesus said, it won't be taken away, not taken away by Martha or Judas or Satan. Now, here's another thing you have to dig deeper and compare scripture with scripture on. There she is at the feet of Jesus. The Pharisees would never have allowed that. They didn't want the women to learn the holy law of God. It's only for men and only for certain men, not the Gentiles, just for the Jewish men that prove themselves worthy to hear HaTorah, the law. They would have been, Jesus having women at his feet listening? What kind of rabbi is this? Well, he's the Son of God. That's what kind. But there's something else in this. Can you think of any times in the Bible where you find a woman at the feet of a man? And it was a certain Jewish custom. I'm giving you a little hints. Another holy woman in the Old Testament named Ruth. You remember the story? And it was good Jewish romance about Boaz noticed her godliness and she noticed his godliness. And then the older woman said, now, Ruth, he's made some ovation by giving you that extra food. Now, you make yourself available and show that you're open for romance. So here's what you do. After the feast, go and sit down at his feet. He'll get the hint. You know, it's one of those little customs. And so she did that as if to say, here I am. This is what Mary was doing. Spiritual romance. Of course, it wasn't that she wanted to marry Jesus. Or maybe she did. There is spiritual romance and spiritual marriage. This is her way of saying, Jesus, I don't only want to listen to you. I want to be yours. I want to be married. And every Christian is spiritually married to the Lord Jesus Christ. You can see her attitude is also one of love and affection. Jesus said she has chosen the best portion. Now, that's interesting because the word there is usually used in Greek of a portion of food. Here's the irony. Martha was interested in the physical food. Mary chose the best portion of all. And what was it? Well, let me tell you. The great Greek scholar A.T. Robertson said this. The best dish on the table was fellowship with Jesus. He was the great portion, and Martha didn't see it. Mary did. She wanted to listen to him, wanted to touch him, to be as close as she could. Bible several times in the Old Testament says, the Lord is my portion. For example, when the Jews came into the promised land and they divided up the land to the different tribes, and Reuben got such a large part on this side of the river, and then you got Judah got the biggest because they were the most populous, and then Ephraim and Manasseh was one tribe that was split into two. And it says, okay, you get this and you get that over there. But one of the tribes didn't get any land. The Levites, tribe of Levi. What did they get? Bible says, you don't get a portion of land. The Lord is your portion. Their blessing was they got to serve in the temple. Notice it says here, Mary has chosen the best portion, which will not be taken away, and the best portion was the Lord Jesus Christ. Mary could have stayed there all day. She felt at home at the feet of Jesus. The closer you are to Jesus, time takes on a different time schedule. 5 minutes, 5 hours. Mary felt at home. Brethren, time spent with Jesus is never wasted. And time spent with Jesus is more important than time working for Jesus. Fill up your heart. Listen to him. Have you learned the lesson of spiritual communion with Jesus? And I'm not just talking about when we have the Lord's Supper. It's like husbands and wives commune in their heart when they say things and they listen and they comfort one another. The two become one. You couples know what I mean. We need to develop that spiritual communion with Jesus. That's what Mary was doing. She was listening. In fact, there's a verse back there in the Song of Solomon. It says, while I lay on my bed, I commune with him in my heart. I invite you to commune with the Lord Jesus in your heart as you read his word. Are you like Martha? Or are you like Mary? Let's all become more and more like Mary. And then, of course, there are people that are not like either one of them. Why? Martha did believe in Jesus, and she did bring her needs to Jesus. But she needed to be like Mary. There are some people that are not like either one because they're not a disciple yet. They don't know Jesus. If there's anybody here today like that, this message, you say, well, what in the world has this got to do with me, these two sisters? Come and know the Lord Jesus. Listen to his word. Believe in him. Choose that best portion, the Lord Jesus Christ, and seize that time of visitation when he's so near that spiritually you can reach out and touch him and believe in him. And then, be like Mary and not like Martha. May the Lord bless these words to our hearts this morning. May the Lord bless your hearts this morning. Shall we pray? Our Father, thank you that you have included this short little episode in your word so that we can learn about Jesus and that we can imitate Mary. Lord, what a privilege Mary had that in these four times she was at the feet of Jesus, and that's where we belong. Thank you, Lord, for the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us to be like Mary and lovingly linger and listen in his presence. In the holy name of Jesus, amen.